Okay, Dean. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and particularly about Turning Point and Susan Russell and your experience with her practice. But before we get into that, I'd like to talk a little bit about Herbs of Light and your involvement and the current activities that you're involved in. And understand that from a background perspective, a shift from the corporate America businessman to the energetic medicine man occurred in your life. Can you talk a little bit about that experience and that process?
I sure will, Robert, because of the fact it was a dramatic shift in my life, and I had these illnesses and diseases come up in my life. I normally say I had a great time getting sick because of the fact that it's a great guide in regard to how disease and illness gives us information. And in getting the ulcers and the arrhythmia and the deformations of the hands from rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis in regard to my back, it allowed me to know that the lifestyle I was leading was dramatically injuring myself. And so I asked my customers and friends, I finally went from being a manager of a Payne Weber branch and a partner of Raymond James, which was an investment. I finally decided to go into finance, thought that was going to be a little bit easier, and ran AT&T's medical finance division. And it was more bureaucratic, so it was more stressful. So at the end of that period, I started becoming so painful from the diseases, which is nothing but the illnesses giving information, saying we have a real problem here. However, I didn't really know that yet, and so I asked my friends and customers, which were doctors on both sides of the track, the allopaths and the holistic folks, I said, gosh, can you assist me in getting my health back from the rheumatoid and osteo? And they said, Dean Martins, including Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Mayo Clinic, they said, you will never have your health back again in this lifetime. So it gave me a wonderful visibility to understand not to study what they studied, because it didn't work. And what I decided to do is I had a little bit of guidance. I was a student of theology. I thought I was going to become a spiritual minister. Instead, I actually became a stockbroker, which was quite humorous. But I asked for some guidance, and this is the understanding of energy that the chi and the prana that we talk about. And it led me to study health. The problem was we didn't have an institute in the world that literally taught it. And I studied macrobiotic, which was great, and oriental, which was wonderful, Ayurveda, beautiful philosophies. But I was allowed somewhat to go further, and I got to understand natural law. I studied Hippocrates and Plato and Jesus, Buddha, Ann Wigmore, Victoris Kolbenskis. A major gal was Barbara Brennan, the bioenergetic physicist at NASA. And lo and behold, I got to find out what health truly is. And it has to do dramatically with the understanding of energy first. And in knowing that, I used it. I used the techniques. I fasted for 26 days on water and air. I cleaned the colon out. I allowed my ingestion of foods not to have any dead or cooked foods. Totally different than, as you can assume, my initial lifestyle was. And anyway, I got rid of all of the diseases, all of the illnesses left, the deformations, the arrhythmias, all of these things, and I also got my health back, two different things. So at that particular time, when you get your health back, and this is basically, and Susan Russell knows this, she's a fabulous doctor, when you get your health back, and you fill back up with that energy, and you get the innocence back and the trust, you become dramatically passionate about being of assistance, being of a part of the solution. And so that's what I went through, and that started this brand new paradigm, this brand new understanding of hopefully how we can now be part of the solution, because the world needs it. I'm very happy that I'm able to assist.
That's a fascinating story. I guess one of the things that I find interesting, also having a corporate background similar to yourself, is this sense of energy. I guess you could probably look back at your corporate experience and see the different manifestations of energy, both in balance and out of balance, in your corporate experience. And for me, as I look back on that corporate experience and the various people and situations, it was interesting to see the manifestations of how powerful imbalance of energy can be.
It certainly is. And, you know, once we finally, and the timing is here now, that we're starting to understand much more information, because before we were using intelligence, which is the information we had already found out, and we would put that into the old computer called the brain, and we would hopefully utilize it the best way possible. Well, now we're starting to receive much more of what we call wisdom instead of just the intelligence. The wisdom actually creates a byproduct, which is intuition, which then creates common sense. And that actually, through the pineal gland, works through the heart, and we receive this amazing amount of information. And so if we can start to understand that now we have physics, and now we have quantum physics, and now we have string theories and Farkles and all of these new words, but basically it's very, very simple. And if we can start understanding that energy is what makes everything up, literally, it even creates the chemistry. It creates the objective visibility, the objective realm. Well, now, if we use both this objective source of chemistry and also the subjective understanding of energy, which is the birthing creator of this chemistry. Now, if we have both together, the chemistry and the energy, now, my gosh, we can get a tremendous picture. We can get some real visibility on how things work. And I'm very happy that I was able to meet Dr. Russell, because here is a human being that is not basically a mechanic, which is what most physicians are, because they learn a particular art and they utilize it, and I respect them greatly for what they do. However, Dr. Russell has taken it to its beginning and to its origin, its source, and is able to understand how it is created and what makes this synergy of chemistry and energy work together. And so I respect her greatly, and to be able to have myself, who wants to be part of the solution, have someone like her understand what she does, that is a great vehicle for my passion in making sure that we are utilizing what we know, and we have someone we can use it with. So I hope that gives kind of an understanding of that.
Now, why has energy been so important, both as you just discussed regarding understanding that, you know, everything is energy, and having a clear understanding of that is so important. But why has it been so important in the herbal medicines, how it's so different in the allopathic health industry?
Well, here's what happened, Robert. After I received all my health back, and I have all this passion, and I'm asking for guidance, and I truly mean that. You ask for guidance. And I felt that I might go and become an herbalist or herbologist. And I heard about Michael Moore, who ran the Southwest School of Botanical Medicine out in New Mexico. And it was an amazing trip on how I eventually got there. I went there because of the fact it was Michael Moore or John Christopher, and those are the two major minds, two major understandings of medicine in the Western world. And I went through all of the course, and how we take the liquid menstruum and how we put it through the herb and how we extract all of the chemistry. And after understanding the U.S. Pharmacopeia methodology, a few words there, at the end of the teachings, I said to Michael, who I love very much, and we love each other in our own ways, I said, Michael, you taught us beautifully how to wildcraft and take the botanical out of Mother Earth, the herb out of the ground, and how to make the extract from it. However, I have a huge problem, and that is when we do take the plant, the botanical, out of Mother Earth, it literally starts losing its life force, its vital energy. It's kind of like taking the arm off the body. The arm starts losing that energy. I said, well, Mike, how do we get that energy back into the herbal extract, the liquid extract, to make it so that the chemistry works? Because everything, Robert, that I've ever studied, all the way from Bernard Jensen to Hippocrates, who believed totally in live food, by the way, but not too many people know that, we have to have the energy there to make the chemistry work. And so I said, Mike, how do we get that back into that liquid? And he looked at me, and I was always the questioned guy. He said, Martins, you always ask so many questions. Will you please be quiet? And we all had a lot of fun with that. However, now that brought up visibility on my next mission, my next real interest and passion, and that was, how do I make it so we do have medicine? Because here's one of the finest minds in the world relative to true medicine, true herbal medicine. When Hippocrates said, let your food be your medicine, he wasn't just chewing bubblegum. He truly understood what he was talking about. And by the way, on a little side note, let me say way further than that, Dr. Susan Russell understands you can go way, way beyond plants and food. You can go to intent. You can go to imagination. You can go to thought process. And that's medicine because it's energy. And those are the things that I learned. Well, in bringing it back to true herbal medicine, which is what Hippocrates was basically about, I said, gosh, I have this new this new direction. And anyway, you've heard about coincidence. Well, I look at a piece of paper that day in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Barbara Brennan, the bioenergetic physicist, is doing a workshop in Santa Fe, New Mexico, the coming weekend. And I said, my golly. So I went and became a student of hers, ultimately, make a long story short. That kind of guided me to her institute up in Long Island, which I worked with her. I was a student of hers. And understanding chakras and spin and vortexes and how energy flows and why and, polarities. Anyway, that also then led me to Victor Schauberger, who basically studied all of the water flow on the planet, just like our fluids in our body works. Well, we have water on the planet feeding mom and the energies within those liquids. That led me to another company in northern New York, who is making the living water machine from the Schauberger philosophies, and that was a wonderful time of my life. I picked that equipment up, I brought it back to my home in Florida, and had a great friend of mine who taught radionics, which is the homeopathic broadcasting of energies into nature, and he came over, and I didn't want to mention why, but I said, Alan, please see what you think about this extract, because I had used the living water. And he came back in a few days, and he said, my gosh, Dean, what have you done? You have a ton of energy in this extract. Well, Robert, that was a goosebump day for Dean Martins.
I can imagine.
Because, you know, everyone's talking about all this philosophy, and it gets to be philosophical entertainment. The only problem is that a lot of it doesn't work. So that came up in my life, and then if you've ever heard of Edgar Cayce and his institute, who is quite a fellow, a traumatic healer, the Edgar Cayce Heritage Store in Virginia Beach, which is basically backed by the Edgar Cayce Institute, was looking for the best laboratory to make the Edgar Cayce liquid herbal extracts. And they were looking at the finest herb companies in the world. I mean, Gaia and Herb Farm, Eclectic Herbs, etc., a couple others. And they heard what I was doing and asked for the products and the finest vocational award. And I have had quite a life. It's been quite a gift. But the finest reward I've ever had in my life vocationally has been when they called and said, Dean Martin's, would Herbs of Light be the laboratory to do the Edgar Cayce liquid herbal products?
Wow.
And my ego really had a trip.
That was another goosebump moment?
Oh, my gosh. Well, beyond the ego, the heart really opened up.
Yeah.
And I said, gosh, I think we're supposed to do this. I never put this on paper. I was wonderfully being guided. And that started the company. And so I thought we had basically done all of our work, and I had at that particular time. But about 8 to 10 years later, I get on some genetic committees because they asked me if I would do that on the GMO problem, the alteration of genetics. And the first thing we learn is that corn is genetically altered. Oh, my gosh, that was like antennas coming out of my brain. Because all of us, all of the major companies are told and mentioned to use ethyl alcohol. Well, ethyl alcohol is made mostly from corn. And if that corn is altered genetically, it no longer has its balance. In other words, you take a part of that DNA out of that double helix, and initially that balance and that resonance is flowing beautifully. It's totally in balance. It's gorgeous. It has a synergy. You take a part out, it no longer has all of its whole parts, and it no longer has the balance, so now it has chaos. And the chaos will not allow the signature of the herb to work if it's used as the medium that the herbs are in. So it's kind of like putting a lungwort in the body. It has its own energy. It's an herb. And that energy within the lungwort, if it's whole and it has all the energy, will be attracted to the cell of the lung. And it's beautiful. It's a magnetic energy, and it works perfectly. And that's one of the major parts of the signature of the herb. Well, in using an ethyl alcohol that does not have its energy in balance, we had to change that. Long story short, we went to biodynamic grape, and now we're at cane sugar GMO-free alcohol. So now we have the energy, we have the chemistry, and we have the balance that's needed within the resonance of that energy that makes the chemistry work. I'm very, very happy to share these things with you because of the fact that I truly feel and receive reflection all the time that this particular medicine is helping out quite well.
Mm-hmm. Now, along those lines, that's obviously one of the areas that Herbs of Light that you focus on to create and maintain the energy or chi within the medicine. What are some of the other areas that Herbs of Light addresses to maintain that balance of energy?
Well, now we get into fun. Since the inception of the Herbs of Light company, the first thing I wanted to make sure that was accomplished, because of the fact this was not going to be a one-person company itself, ABC Prime Time, in fact, did a whole show on us. We got 4 minutes on there. They filmed us for 17 hours, and we got 4 minutes on the Prime Time show. That's how it works. Anyway, the staff of Herbs of Light, number one, has to Qigong every morning to balance their energies that became out of balance or in chaos the night before through the distress of the soap operas of the world or the TV or all of the things that they're ingesting through thought and what we call food. And so they do a Qigong yoga every morning to balance their energies before they're allowed to work in our laboratory to work with the herbal energies. And I truly understand how that works. And I'm very happy that we accomplished that. Now, to go along with that, every time a liquid extract is poured from one vessel to another, it has to be vortex poured. And people that are understanding energies now understand that the vortex is the major vehicle for the movement of energies. And so we want to make sure that's accomplished. And then all of the equipment at Herbs of Light is basically not inductive. Most everything done at Herbs of Light is done by hand, as much as humanly possible. We have skylights so that the light can come in. We want to make sure that everything that we're doing, all the way from having a staff meeting every morning to make sure that we stay in balance with what our priorities are, that this is carried out so that the distress, which is normal in the soap opera of our world, doesn't carry through to what we're doing. I will say that there's one thing we're starting to evolve more at this time. And beside understanding that all of the herbs have to be grown from the wild, Mother knows how to do it better than any human ever has. In other words, the aspect of Mother Nature on how she decides where an herb or a food should grow is perfect. So wildcrafted herbs are the priority. If we can't get that, we have 30 acres of organic property that I turned into a biodynamic organism, which comes from Rudolf Steiner. And I wanted to make sure that we could really walk our talk. I wanted to make sure that we could model so that hopefully other people can do the same thing, because we certainly can't get to all the people. Mm-hmm. So at this point, if we can't get it from the wild, or we can't get it biodynamically, we will get it from certified organic farmers. I don't put organic down, but it just means it doesn't have poison. It doesn't have the magic we're looking for. But beyond that, in our water, we're now evolving, Robert, what we're doing with our water, because we're learning, and I'm feeling much more about it. And what that is we are now starting to understand salt and how the oceans have to have a saline solution, and it's 1% in the ocean, and in fact our interstitial fluids have to have 1% of a saline solution to make the sodium-potassium pump work and to make the brain work and all of these things. There has to be a salt ingredient within our systems, and that is a huge communication, because the government has said not to take salt. Well, the salt they're mentioning not to take is a bad salt. It's very toxic. It's table salt. They should just say take a real good salt. And that hasn't been accomplished yet, and that's another major mission we're on. But we have to have that saline solution, so we're now doing some research and development on adding salt to the water, and we're putting it into sunlight because of the fact that Himalayan crystal salt we use has all 84 minerals that the body can utilize. They're electrolytic, they're electrolytes. They're the things that actually produce the neurological activity of transmission and reception from the objective world, from the mineral world. Well, now, I had an interesting feeling the other day, and that was, gosh, if we could put that salt into the water, into that living water, and we could put the sun on it, and also then put the extracts in it where we have the constituents of the plants, we could actually have that elemental mineral, which has an opposite vortex spin of what the mineral has once it becomes part of a plant body or a plant leaf or a plant cell. They both have opposite spins, and the mineral from the plant is absorbed and assimilated greatly and easily into the cell of the human body, whereas the elemental mineral doesn't have that much ease. Well, if we can allow photosynthesis in our water through the sun, working with the constituents of the plants, providing more photosynthesis of those minerals within the salt in the water, then I'm a happy guy. We're working on that one like crazy, and I'm very, very interested in seeing how we come out with that. We're also, by the way, putting quartz crystals in that particular water also. And I'm sure we're going to have quite a few sessions in regard to seeing, can this be done? However, at this time, it's a feeling. The feeling is good, so hopefully we're getting into that arena.
But you're